We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
I'm not a hand raiser in worship, but it shouldn't surprise anyone because I didn't raise my hand in school either. I had the tendency just to blurt things out. If I knew the answer, I just yelled it out. If I wasn't sure of the answer, I would raise my hand and pray that my teacher would call someone else. Anyone else do that? Yeah? Okay, good. So this morning, we're going to look at someone who's like a lot of us. Moses was not a hand raiser. I don't know what church he went to. I don't know how he was as a kid. But I know that when he was called by God, he was not a hand raiser. We talked a little bit about this last week. Moses is out in the wilderness, and he's watching the sheep of his father-in-law, and he notices that a bush is on fire, and what amazed him was it wasn't burning up. And so when he started walking over there, the bush called his name, Moses, Moses. And Moses was not, he was not thrilled to have this conversation with the bush. And in fact, when the bush said to him, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses, unlike most of the other prophets in the Hebrew scripture, was not excited about doing that. In fact, well, let me just explain it this way. Isaiah, when Isaiah was called by God, Isaiah raised his hand and he said, here I am, God, send me. When Samuel was called, Samuel raised his hand, said, I'm ready, God. But Moses, rather than raise his hand, because he wasn't a hand raiser, Moses started arguing with God and made all these excuses, in fact, five different excuses of why he wasn't the one. Well, as God generally does, God won out, and Moses reluctantly and eventually agreed. And Moses then went to the Pharaoh, and he sang. Now, those of you who don't know Hebrew might not know that he sang. But if you look at the original language, Moses sang. And he sang something that went like this. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, let my people go. Okay, look, the 8 o'clock service, I'm used to them not playing, okay? But this is an easy song. So we're going to try again because it's fun, and it's the only time I get to sing it is when we do this Moses story. So it goes, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, oh, let my people go. And that is in the original language. You can look it up. You can Google it. And so he goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh refuses. And I really can't blame Pharaoh. I mean, after all, he's got free labor, and they're doing all these building projects around Egypt, and he's not paying for them. So he says no, and that's when God says, wait a second. And God sends 9 plagues to hit Egypt. And you would think after 9 plagues, Pharaoh would have given in. I know I would have. Here are the plagues. The Nile turned to blood. There was a plague of frogs, there was gnats, there was flies, there was an epidemic that came over all the livestock, there were boils, hail, locusts, and finally, there was this total darkness. I mean, this is apocalyptic. This is like the major disaster movie of all disaster movies. This is big. And the Pharaoh keeps saying no. So finally, God talks to Moses and says, look, I'm going to send one more plague, and I promise you, when that plague gets there, the people and the Pharaoh will be begging you to leave. And that's what happened. God sent the 10th plague, which was the firstborn of every family would be killed, would die. And the Pharaoh freaked, and the Pharaoh gave in, and he begged Moses and the people to leave. And that's exactly what they did. They left. And they were led by God out to the wilderness. Now that's where we're going to pick up the story, if you don't mind. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus 14. We're going to start at verse 10. If you don't have your Bible, it should be on the screen behind me. And this is how it goes. As Pharaoh drew near, oh, I forgot to tell you the important part of the story. Pharaoh loaded up 600 chariots, his whole army and all his officers, and he went after these folks. And this is what he said. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us? Bring us out of Egypt. It is not this very thing we told you in Egypt. Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now I don't know what they were drinking, but they had lost their mind at this point, okay? Because there is nowhere in Scripture where we ever see that they asked Moses why they were in Egypt to leave them alone. And there is no way they should have said, we'd rather be slaves than be free. And it makes you kind of think, did they forget all that God had done for them? Did they have a momentary lapse in memory and forgot about the plagues and forgot how God delivered them and how God freed them? Because they must have, if they would rather go back to Egypt. This is just the beginning of their whining and their complaining. And it starts here. Then we pick it up. Next verse. And I love this, okay? But Moses said to the people, now this is Moses trying to be rational. Do not be afraid, stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you have only to keep still. Now, I have preached on this passage numerous times and I have never noticed this. Moses tells the people to keep still. But listen what God says in the next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. So which one is it? Do we stay still or do we go forward? Which one do we listen to? And I thought this could be the sermon. Because this is us, right? A lot of us. It's kind of what Leah was talking about, that there's a lot of us that are afraid to take first steps. We are afraid of taking a risk, and we'd rather stay back and just wait, where God says you have to move forward. I have a sermon where, Richard, I got this all wrong. I preached a sermon years ago where I compared the crossing of the Jordan River and the parting of the Red Sea. And I said that the crossing of the Jordan River took more faith because God said to those people, I will part the water when your foot hits the water. So they had to take the first step. And I said, well, it's easy if the water's open and then you move forward. And what I missed is God didn't move until the Israelites took the first step. And I wanted to preach on that, but I realized that might not be the reason the Exodus story is in Scripture. So I kept reading. We're going to read verse 16. And then we're going to skip to 21. But you lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. That is when Moses joined the hand-raising church. I don't know if he understood exactly what was going to happen. I don't know if he raised it all the way up, if he did the touchdown or the Mufasa or the hold the baby. All I know is God said, raise your hand and I will deliver you. And that's exactly what God did. And in Cecil B. DeMille fashion, right, the waters parted and the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on either side with water on dry land. Now, I can't explain how that happens. I have no idea how God pulled that off, how Moses raised his hand. I don't know any of that. The Israelites couldn't explain how it happened. In fact, there are scholars who will tell you it really didn't happen that way. They want to tell me that the Red Sea did not happen the way it's described because they don't really know where the Red Sea is. And that if you look in the original language, it's really a place called the Sea of Reeds. And the Sea of Reeds, according to these scholars, was about 6 inches to a foot deep. And that all the Israelites really did is wade through the water. Now, I'm okay with that. As long as you can explain to me how the entire Pharaoh's army drowned in 1 foot of water. So either way you want to look at it, God worked a miracle and God delivered them. But it all started when Moses listened to God and raised his hand. And that's when God reached down, took hold of Moses' hand, and delivered the people of Israel. Now that's a great story. But I have a problem with it. Have you ever been in that place? Pharaoh's army behind you, Red Sea in front of you. Your back is up against the wall. You don't know how you're going to get out. Anyone ever? Most of us have been there. Most of us understand what it's like to not know how to get out of any mess that we are in. And I don't know about your life, but for me, sometimes the Red Sea isn't parted. Sometimes I am just stuck, army behind, Red Sea in front, danger on both sides, and it appears God doesn't deliver. You ever been there? I mean, think about it. People we pray for still get cancer. People we love still die. Marriages that are important to us still fall apart. Friends who we know still can't find jobs. Families that we can name can't pay their bills. Sometimes the Red Sea doesn't part. Sometimes a Pharaoh's army doesn't drown. Does anyone else ever had that? What do you do with this story? Well, it bothered me for a while. Then I read a couple of verses that I think in the past I just skimmed over. Listen to what it says. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. And it came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night long. I had missed that. As many times as I have read this story, I missed it. You see, before Moses raised his hand, God was in front of him. That's what the Bible says. Before Moses raised his hand, not only was God in front of them, God was behind them. He was to the right of them. He was to the left of them. In fact, according to Scripture and the story, God, in ways I can't explain, surrounded the entire people of Israel and embraced them. So it's my argument that the only way Moses could raise his hand is because he knew that God was with him. Look, we've all been, most of us have been there. And for some of us, the Red Sea doesn't part. But the promise we are given is that God is with us. God was with Moses, God was with the people of Israel, and God is with us, surrounding us, holding on to us, leading us, and yes, delivering us. It may not look like the way we want it to look, but he is here. In fact, if you want to skip the rest of the sermons on this series, you pretty much can. Because the message through the entire Moses story is that God is with us. The presence of God is here. And when we lift our hand, whether we do it in worship or whether we do it just in our heads, God will hold on to us. And he will keep us from falling. He will keep us from stumbling. That is the promise I hold on to. So when the Red Sea doesn't part, and when the army is coming up against you, raise your hand. Because God is with you, surrounding you, embracing you. That's what I think that the entire Bible is about. And that's what my whole faith rest on. And I happen to think that's the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.